Greetings once again, and hello to another presentation of Search the Scriptures. And if you never heard our program before, our program is about truth. It's about spreading the truth. You know, it says in Matthew 24 that this good news of the kingdom will be spread in all the world as a witness, and then Messiah would return. And there's a very scary scripture that's in the book of Revelation about the times we're living in. It's Revelation 12 in verse 9. It says, Satan has deceived the whole world. Satan has deceived the whole world. Wow. Well, if you're listening to this broadcast, you're not listening from the moon. You're not listening from Mars. You're listening from the planet Earth. So that means if Satan has deceived the whole world, could possibly you also be deceived? You know, we're living in a world where there's corruption in everything. There's corruption in religion. There's corruption in politics. There's corruptions in our schools. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things in Search the Scripture program, because everything does go back to the Garden of Eden. Because when the Father created everything on creation week, maybe we'll even do a whole week of programs just on the Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect. But we know that Adam and Eve chose a direction away from our Heavenly Father and His perfect ways, His laws, which in the Bible it's called His Torah. Torah is the law of Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. And by doing that, they started something in motion. They started in motion. A system by Satan that he's controlled this world for almost 6,000 years in just about every aspect of it. And now the Father is redeeming things back to him. So we will go into, in these broadcasts, that deception. Because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. You're not going to hear it in normal organized religion. You're not going to hear it in your normal Sunday Baptist church. You're not going to really hear the truth of Scripture, because the first thing I want to let you know is if Satan's deceived the whole world, how is he deceived them? Mostly is through religion. And you'll find out so many things in religion are not the way they're telling you. And again, anything I say, I don't want you to believe me. I want you to prove it to yourself. You know, believe your Bible. Everything that we're going to do, we're going to reference from the Holy Scriptures, and we're going to show you where you've been being deceived. So where I would like to start today is, you know, if we're going to start in the deception itself, why don't we start in the very, very person of the creator of the universe is where this deception has started. That Satan the devil has actually inspired through mankind that most of mankind does not even recognize the very name of our creator. And you know, it's pretty interesting. If you were a Hindu and you were to ask them what's the name of the deity they serve, what would they tell you? They would say Vishnu. If you were to ask a Muslim, what is the name of the deity you serve? They would tell you it was Allah. But if you ask a Christian, what is the name of the deity you serve? What do they say? They'll tell you, maybe they'll say God, right? God. I serve God. But is that really the name of the Creator from Scripture? No, certainly is not. I will prove it to you today. I will prove to you that the Creator's name is not God. That even in the English language, G-O-D is nothing but a title. It is not a personal name. And Satan has very shrewdly hid the name. And we'll see, if not on this broadcast today, there'll be a second part to this tomorrow, that you will shrewdly see why Satan has hid the name of the Creator. Because all over the Scriptures, we are told to worship the name of the Creator, to pray to the name of the Creator, to call on the name of the Creator. There's many, many different things that tell us in Scripture about that. So by Satan hiding his name and actually replacing it with the name of the Babylonian deity, believe it or not, and I'll prove that to you today, he has taken power away from believers that they don't even know about. If there's nothing else you get out of this broadcast, if there's nothing else that you think about after listening to this, remember Revelation 12:9. We're living it. Satan has deceived the whole world. Now let me start by saying, first thing, in language, you know, we have translations. Right now, I have in front of me a cup of water. I'm speaking English. This broadcast could go out in different parts of the world, but unless it's being translated, it's going to be broadcast in the English language. Now, if you think about in Italian, the word for water is agua. Well, let's say Hebrew. We're talking about Hebrew now. I'm doing this broadcast from Israel. Me and my wife and daughter, we live here in the special Holy Land of Israel. The law will go forth from Zion, and the word of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, from Jerusalem. It's part of prophecy being fulfilled. So this radio broadcast that you're listening to is actually being taped in Israel itself, you know, where it's coming from. So in Hebrew, the word for water is mayim. Mayim. Heaven is shamayim, you know, the waters in the heavens above. So the word is mayim. Now, does the word water and the word mayim seem to have anything in common whatsoever? No, because it's a translation. It's a translation. We have many different things that are translated, many different words that are translated, you know. The word, you know, I won't go any further, but just like I said, mayim is in Hebrew, water is in English. But names are not translated. When you look at names, they aren't translated. It's what's called transliterated, meaning that the name stays the same in any language. If you look at the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, whether he's in America or whether he's in Israel or whether he's in Saudi Arabia bowing down to the Prince of Saudi Arabia, or whether he's in Indonesia, you know, bowing down to the statue of himself there that the Muslims made to him, whatever, wherever he is, his name is the same. So what'll happen is, if you're in Israel, or you're in Spain, or you're in Italy, wherever you are, you'll hear the language, ba 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 ba, and you won't know what it is, and then you'll hear Barack Hussein Obama, or, you know, George Bush. You know, many times here in Israel, if I was listening to a Israeli news, you know, they would be speaking in Hebrew, and then all of a sudden you'd hear George Bush. Because when George Bush came here, his name is not translated into Hebrew or any other language. His name is George Bush, no matter where he goes. We find this in the Bible. If you look in the Bible, every single name in the Bible is transliterated. Every single name but two. Let's start. Adam. In Hebrew, the name is Adam. In English, it's Adam. That's the transliteration of Adam is Adam. David. Hebrew, the name David. In English, it's David. Moshe. Moshe in Hebrew, Moses in English. Do you see the parallel? Miriam in Hebrew, Mary in English. The name is almost the same except for a little bit of phonetic difference. And that's what a transliteration is. That basically the name stays the same, but again, from language to language, some languages don't have certain sounds. You know, actually in Hebrew, there's no letter J. So you couldn't have the J sound if you were transliterating a name. There is no letter J. Which proves the name of our Heavenly Father cannot be Jehovah because there is no letter J. And we'll get into that in a few minutes here. But here it is. So, names are transliterated. They're not translated. And like I said, every single name without fail in the Bible is transliterated except for two. And guess what they are? The names of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, and the name of His Son, Yeshua. Every single other name is translated. Now what's really interesting is that if you open your Bible, and let's open to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 30. It's an interesting question that comes up there in Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 in verse 4. Proverbs 30 in verse 4. It says, Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in his garments? Who has made the ends of the earth to rise? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Surely you know. Come on, like I said, if you were a Hindu, and this was talking about the Hindu deity, there's no doubt, of course, it's Vishnu. If you were Muslim, you were talking about the Muslim deity, you'd say, of course, it's got to be Allah. But who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has made all the ends of the earth to rise? What is his name and what is his son's name? Come on. Surely you know. It's one of the saddest facts in the world that Christianity is a religion that does not know the name of their deity. They don't have the name of the deity. They're calling their deity the name God, which is not his name. The Bible tells us the name of the creator of the universe. And we will read it here. If I open it up, let's go to the book of Exodus. And we will see exactly. And I will prove to you right here as we read this that the name of our Heavenly Father is not G-O-D. It is not God. Exodus 3:13, it says, "And Moses said," if you're reading your Bible, you can open up your Bible. You might be driving in a car. Who knows where you are? But I'll comment on this. You might be using a King James or whatever. We'll comment on the translation because, of course, I think everybody that would be listening to this broadcast understands that English is only a language that is 400 or 500 years old. It is not an ancient language that our Savior and Moses and King David did not speak English. They spoke Hebrew, and that everything is being translated from Hebrew, from the original scriptures. So here we have, it says, "Moses said to God," and the word in Hebrew is Elohim. Elohim, we'll talk about that in another radio broadcast when we're talking about the plurality of our Heavenly Father and His Son, because Elohim is a plural word. El is singular, meaning one deity. Elohim is plural, meaning more than one person or family of deity. "And Moses said to God," or Elohim, "Behold, I shall come to the sons of Israel and say to them, the God or Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you. And they will say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say to them?" Isn't this a pretty interesting scripture? Moses comes to God, right, to Elohim, and says, "I will come to the sons of Israel." You know, he's going to go to them. He's going to free them. And he's going to come to the sons of Israel and say, "The God or Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you." And what will their answer be? What is his name? Apparently his name is not God. By Moses coming to the Israelites and saying, "God has sent me," their answer is, okay, what is his name? Now, I'm going to get into you the origin of the name G-O-D shortly, because it's here we're proving that this translation of Elohim, that even Elohim is a title. It's not a personal name. It's not the personal name of our Heavenly Father. You know, it's kind of interesting that when you look at human beings, every human being takes so much pride in his name. And be honest with yourself. Have you ever told your name to somebody and they got it wrong? And you got a little upset? That's Smelvin with a V. You know, has that ever happened? Or, you know, just the pronunciation of it. It's not Jonathan. It's Jonathan. You know, that you want to make sure that they don't only know your name. You want to make sure that they pronounce it exactly the way you want it pronounced. You know, my name is Don Esposito. In Italy, they wouldn't say Esposito. They'd say Esposito. They'd say Esposito. And, you know, you want them to say your name correctly because this is your name. So it's really interesting that as human beings, we're so prideful of our name and how important our name means. Yet, when it comes to the name above all names, somehow we believe it just doesn't matter. Ah, you can call him anything. Oh, he understands. Why is it? Why is it as human beings we don't understand? But somehow, when this name was so so set apart, it was so holy, it was so sanctified, that Moses actually had to take the sandals off of his feet to even stand before this being of the universe. And the blasphemy, but for a human to say his name don't matter? Well, let's see the name that the Heavenly Father tells Moses that is his name for all time. Exodus 3, book of Exodus, still in the same chapter, in verse 15. And Elohim said to Moses again, "You shall say this to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever." Yahweh, he says, "this is my name forever, and this is my memorial from generation to generation." Wow. Wow. "This is my name forever, and this is my memorial from generation to generation." So here we see very, very clearly that the creator of the universe, who clearly identifies himself as Yahweh, that is his name, and Yahweh literally means to exist. You know, he's not created, he's always been there, so he exists. That is his name forever, and that is his memorial from generation to generation. So why, if that's the case, and if it's right here in Scripture, why on earth wouldn't every single Christian in the world know about this? Because like we said in Revelation 12:9, Satan has deceived the whole world. Satan has deceived the whole world. If you look in your Bible, you will find that every single name in your Bible, every single one, is transliterated correctly. Adam is Adam. David is David. Moshe is Moses. Every single name is translated correctly, except for two. The name of the Heavenly Father, Yahweh, the name of our Savior, Yeshua, his Son. And we'll talk about a little bit today about the name Yeshua compared to Jesus, but in another program, we'll get into that extensively. But the point is this. Is Satan causing a great conspiracy? Oh, you better believe it. Because he has taken the personal name of Yahweh, the creator of the universe, the one who created everything on heaven and earth, 7,000 times out of your Bible. Not once, not 5 times, not 10 times, not 100 times, not 500 times, not 1,000 times, not 2,000, 3,000, or 4,000. Just about 7,000 times, almost 7,000 times, the name Yahweh in the original Hebrew manuscripts is in the Bible the way it is written. And that's only the Old Testament. That's not even counting the New Testament. Thousands more in the New Testament. But in just the Old Testament, almost 7,000 times, the translators have taken the personal name of Yahweh, which the Hebrew letters are Yod, He, Vav, He. That's the four Hebrew letters. They call it the Tetragrammaton, which means four. And they've replaced it with a generic title of either Lord or God, 7,000 times. Now, you know something? I'm a man. That's a title. But I don't think I'd like it if, when I came home after work, that my wife would say to me, "Hey man, can you come over here?" Or my kids, my children, would say, "Hey man, come over here." No, I wouldn't like it. I don't think I'd like it. I'm a pastor. If the brethren that were in my congregation just called me man, you know, no, I have a personal name. My name is Don. That's the name my parents gave to me. That's the name that I have. And that's what my name is. So I'm happy when people call me by my name. And to just call somebody a generic title, you're not giving them reverence. You're not giving them, you know, the honor that's due their name. So here it is, 7,000 times, 7,000 times. The translators of every single Bible you can imagine, except a few. One is a translation that I have just personally have done recently. It's called the Hebraic Roots version. Literal translation. They take the name of Yahweh, personal name, and our Savior Yeshua, just Yahweh, let's just stay with that a minute, 7,000 times, and replace it with the generic title of God or Lord. Now, very interesting. If we go to the third commandment, and you can go there in Exodus, the 20th chapter. Let's go there a minute. Exodus 20. And you could read it, the third commandment. It tells us, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim in vain." That's literally what the third commandment says. Where in the King James Version they say, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God." That is not in the original Hebrew. It's, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim in vain." Very interesting. What does that mean? You know, we've all heard it. You know, you've blasphemed, you know, the name of the Almighty, you know. And sure, if you curse his name or whatever, you're blaspheming it. But what does it mean? Literally, what do those names mean in the original Hebrew language of taking it in vain? Well, what it means is to change, to falsify, or to make common. To change, to falsify, or make common. So let's see. If you take the personal name of Yahweh and change it to something else, Lord, God, whatever it is that changing it? Of course it is. If your name is Joe and somebody changed it to Fred, Sam, or, you know, whatever, book, no matter what they change it to, you know, man, whatever they change it to, they're changing it. They're absolutely changing it. Is it falsifying his name? Absolutely. 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 There's probably not a Jewish person in the world today, at least the ones who speak Hebrew, that don't know the name of the Creator. Now, Jewish people will not pronounce it. They think it's too sacred. That's not scriptural, because we're going to see. We have to pronounce it because we have to call on him. We have to pray to him. Of course we have to pronounce it. But at the same rate, at least they know it. At least they know it. So it's been falsified by Satan because people don't know. Christians do not know whom they worship. They do not know the name of the Heavenly Father. That his name is Yahweh. Third thing is, in vain, to change, to falsify, or to make common. What does he mean to make common? It means to make it like an everyday thing. Like man, you know. Is man common? Yes. Am I a specific man? Don? Yes. So if people just called me man, they would be making my name common. Because I'm more than just man. I'm more than just a generic title. I have a specific name. The same way our Heavenly Father has a specific name. So literally, by taking the name of Yahweh and changing it, they are breaking the third commandment. They are literally breaking the third commandment. Now, is it wrong to use titles for Heavenly Father? No. He is called El Shaddai, you know, the Almighty. He's called our provider, our healer, our sustainer. Those things are all fine titles, and there's nothing wrong with it. But his personal name that is in the Bible 7,000 times is still Yahweh. Now, the reason why it is improper, though, to call our Creator and our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, to call him God, G-O-D, is because God is the name of a Babylonian deity. It's actually the literal name of the Babylonian deity. Now, what's really interesting is, like I said, the name Yahweh is in the Bible 7,000 times. 7,000 times, and it is changed by the translators. Is the name God even in the Bible? It is, once. The name God is in the Bible once, and it refers to the personal name of the Babylonian deity, and I'll go there. Isaiah 65. If you don't have your Bible, you're riding in the car, remember it or write it down, get a pen, scribble it down. Isaiah 65 in verse 11, because in your translation, they don't translate it correctly. But if you have an interlinear Bible or a concordance, you could look this up, and what I'm telling you is absolutely 100% true. Isaiah 65 in verse 11. "But you are those who forsake Yahweh, who forget my holy mountain, who array a table for God, the Babylonian deity, and who fill mixed wine for fate," another false deity. Let me read it again. "But you are those who forsake Yahweh and forget my holy mountain, who array a table for God, the Babylonian deity, and who fill mixed wine for fate." Very, very, very clearly that the Creator's name is Yahweh And the name God is the personal name of a Babylonian deity. Now, if that doesn't shock you, if that doesn't make you want to stop using the name G-O-D and start praying to our Heavenly Father in His name, Yahweh, I don't know which would. Because logically, think to yourself. If you were sitting in your church, no matter what church it is, and a man got up to pray, and maybe he was a new convert. He was coming. Let's say he was a Hindu. And he was realized that salvation is in the saving blood of our Savior, the Son of Yahweh. And he became a believer, and he went up to pray. And at the end of the prayer, he said, "In the name of Vishnu." How many of you people would say, "Amen"? I know I wouldn't. If a Muslim, the same thing. A Muslim came to faith. He's sitting there in your church. He believes like we do. He now believes in the Bible. But he goes up to pray. And he says, "I pray in the name of Allah." How many of you would say Amen? I know I wouldn't. So logically think to yourself, if you wouldn't say Amen to Vishnu, if you wouldn't say Amen, you know, the deity of the Hindus or the deity Allah of the Muslims, why would you say Amen to the deity of the Babylonians? God. God is the personal name of the Babylonian deity. It's absolutely, totally false. Let me show you a couple of scriptures real quick because we're running out of time. And it's Exodus 23. It says, "And be watchful in all that I have said to you, and you shall not mention another Elohim by name. It shall not be heard of your mouth." Now, of course, that doesn't mean you can't actually say a name because you couldn't read your Bible. Your Bible is filled with the names of Baal and the names of God. But what it means when he says that you shall not mention by name, he means to pray to. You shall not make a vow. You shall not pray to another deity by name. So when you are praying to the Babylonian deity, God, you're mentioning another deity by name. One last scripture in Exodus 22:20. It says, "One sacrificing to another Elohim shall be destroyed unless it is only to Yahweh." If you're sacrificing to another deity, unless it is Yahweh, you will be destroyed. So here we are. We're at the end of the program. I hope I gave you some things to think about. Tomorrow we'll pick up from here, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. But in the meantime, I just pray that you will understand that Satan has deceived the whole world, but he doesn't have to deceive you any longer. The truth is here. We are the Congregation of Yahweh. Our address is P.O. Box 832, Carteret, New Jersey, C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T, 07-008. And like I said, we live in Israel, but our mail comes through New Jersey. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine on you. May His countenance lift you up. And may His shalom be with you. Until next time, shalom.